Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
I mean, Mark, it's so good to hear y'all's voices. And Mr. Dibs, I mean, it's just been way too damn long. So it puts a smile on my face.
On 95.7 The Game.
I give up. I don't want the role anymore.
It's
too much pressure. I've had it. I can't do it anymore, Dibs.
Oh, so I know where you're going.
I'm turning in my wings.
No more carrying the burden of being the deep voice guy.
I cannot be the deepest voice on this station anymore. It's too much pressure.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
So we go to the River Islands guest line, which is not a guest line because he's sitting here next to us. It is Odyssey Sports NBA insider, cousin Nick Friedell, who is in the damn room. Hi, Nick.
It is so good to see you guys.
Cousin Nick, my guy Nick Friedell.
Mr. Dibs, Mark. Hilariously, the whole reason I'm sitting here right now, I'm headed to a birthday party in L.A. this week.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sitting here right now because I get my rental car, which I haven't had since I last was out here a few years ago, and I turn on the station, and you guys are talking to Kerr. Yes,
Steve Kerr, sure.
And I call the listener line. I am calling into the studio because I wanted to come on and say, hey, you guys did a great job with that interview.
Well, thank you.
And we'll get into all the curse said and the layers there. But I'm sitting there thinking, oh, man, I'm going to talk to my guys. And I call in. And so many people must have been trying to get in that nobody even picked me up. And I went, uh-oh.
Yeah.
it's either that the lines were full.
The lines had to be full off that one.
Or it was that Lucas was asleep.
I'd love to come to Lucas.
Yeah.
I'd love to, but I know how good that was because I was sitting there listening to it, and I know what you guys asked him and what he said and what he meant in what he was saying, but that cracked me up because then instantly I'm texting Lucas, like, tell the guys they did great. And he's like, where are you?
Exactly.
I'm like, I'm in a rental car in Alameda right now.
Hope you learned your lesson. If you call us, you're going to end up being here the next day.
I love it. Yeah, I love it is great to see y'all.
It's great to see you, and thank you for being here. And Insider Calls are brought to you by Hyundai. Now you can buy a new Hyundai at Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. We get to hang out with Cousin Nick for a while. What'd you think? So you listened to Steve Kerr. What stood out?
Mark, he told you exactly what's going on.
Yep.
And anybody who has listened to Steve through the years, and there are so many diehard Warriors fans out there that listen to the station, Steve Kerr could not have been any clearer in the messaging he was trying to get across. Hey, everybody, we are going to try as hard as we possibly can to win games and not waste the end of Steph's prime and everything you guys discuss all the time. But my biggest takeaway, Mark, is Steve was honest about exactly where they're at. And when he said we're a fading team, that is 100% the truth. As far as I'm concerned, it was an adjustment in the expectations, not only moving forward into this year, but moving ahead. And what I am curious about, and I know there are so many clips that I heard Goo and Steiny replaying it. I'm sure Bonte and Chasky did too. But the clip where he's saying, you know, I'd love to ask Danny Ainge, would he really move Larry Bird and all those guys at the end of that Celtics dynasty? What I'm curious about moving forward now, not only this year but the next couple of years, is what happens when Steph and Draymond stay right around 500? Because I know Mike Dunleavy, he played – for the Bulls when I was covering him. I saw him obviously here when he took that job. I know how badly he wants to win and keep this whole thing moving. But if this team is 500 a year from right now, at what point, as badly as he wants to stay here and be in one jersey his whole career, because he's told me, he's told you guys the same thing over and over, does Steph go, this is just killing me? Because those are some of the most competitive guys I've ever met doing this job. There are a lot of different things to pull out of what you guys had the conversation about, but it's why I, in the role of journalist, writer, have always appreciated just how honest Kerr is.
Yeah.
Because he was telling everybody, hey, here's the situation that we're in. It's not going to change anytime soon, at least dramatically. I know you guys mentioned Vucevic. There's been the talk about Jimmy. None of those guys is going to fix the problem here. And the problem for the Warriors, aside from Steph and Draymond and some nights Wiggins, there's just not enough talent on this team to think that they can get back to championship level.
Yeah, no doubt. Nick Friedell here in studio, 95.7 The Game, and that's kind of what I was saying all along. But to hear not only Steve Kerr, but to also hear, you know, Steph and Draymond with a certain amount of a tone shift, where they're all now kind of, you know, echoing the same party line, which is we don't want to mortgage the future and we don't want to, you know, sacrifice assets and all these other things. I get the last 72 hours where it feels like the tone has shifted among not only Steve Kerr, and you're right, Nick, he's always been so frank and honest with his assessments, but now we get into a spot where it's Steph and Draymond in their own ways saying similar things. So I just wonder what happens over the next 3 weeks, the deadline 3 weeks from tomorrow. And yesterday was a little bit of a shock to hear him say it the way he did.
And Dibs, as you guys know, it's been repeated. I mean, Kerr has talked to you guys. I saw he talked to Slater. Draymond was talking the other night. Steph has said as much a couple different times. Those guys see the reality. And the reality is, this is not a title contender. As badly as they want it to be, as well as Steph is still playing night to night, they are just not good enough to where they were. And I think that is the biggest change from the conversations the last few years. I mean, Warriors fans are so unbelievably loyal, but they've been so spoiled, guys. And this is just the reality of the basketball business. I was listening to B.J. Armstrong earlier with Steiny and Goo, and he said,
"Great guest."
He said as much. He said, "Look, ask Bulls fans. Yep. Ask anybody who has been through that run. Ask the Lakers fans with Shaq and Kobe. You know when it's just about over, and when it hits, it's always ugly." And to me, the takeaway isn't, all right, Steph and Draymond and Steve Kerr, they're still going to fight till the very end. The takeaway is, what happens a couple years from now? Because Steph so badly wanted to stay in one place and be with one team, and now he's to a point where you go, as much as he wants that, is there going to come a point as the losing piles up, or I should say the not winning at the clip we're right. used to, does that point come where he goes, I'd like to try one more time to win something else?
So you mentioned that there's no, like, quote-unquote deal that's going to immediately fix this. But before we go into any specific names and players, I wonder how you'd answer this. Is there any value to the Warriors still making some sort of a deal here over the next 2-3 weeks?
I don't think so in this sense, Mark, only because I don't think there's a guy that makes that much of a difference. Vucevic is a perfect name. The Bulls would love to move off him, give him a couple second-round picks and something, sure. Does he make you better? Yeah. But Vucevic is who he is at this point in his career. He's going to get you 20. He might have 10 rebounds, and he's going to give up a whole ton on the defensive end. So is there a move that could make them a little bit better? Sure. Is there any move if you have to risk, and we all know what the assets are at this point, picks, Kuminga, and something else, that gets them to a different level? I don't see that out there.
Yeah, and that to me becomes a more logical approach, where you do make a move, whether it's Vucevic or Cam Johnson. You get a little bit better now, and then you hope in the offseason you can get significantly better. And I wonder what you think about the asset that is Jonathan Kuminga, because I'm fascinated by this one part of it, because in the offseason he reportedly wanted a max, which is 50 or so million, and it was a non-starter. And, you know, the team probably wanted him to go out and prove it. He started to prove it. Then he got hurt. So what do you think of the asset that is Jonathan Kuminga? Because he's an emerging player, but if you do have him go to restricted free agency and another team offers him $40 million a year, do the Warriors want to give him $40 million a year, or do you end up getting nothing for Jonathan Kuminga after 4 years of some nurturing?
Dibs, the short answer for me is,
take your time.
I would move him. I would move him. But if you're the Warriors and you've invested this time into developing Jonathan Kuminga and you're seeing the flashes, and we've seen it so often, hey, he can be a really solid player. But this is what always happens in the NBA. that next contract hits, and with it, the expectations change. And the second that those change, you go, do I really want to pay this dude $40, $50 million for the production that is there now? I'll give you a perfect example. We're mentioning the Bulls and Vucevic. Zach LaVine, he's a really nice offensive player. But when you give Zach LaVine max money, there's a reason the Bulls can't move him. Because everybody looks at that contract and they go, I don't want any part of that. Like people say, would LaVine fit on the Warriors? Of course he would fit. And he'd actually fit really well because what is the problem right now? They can't really score aside from Steph. They cannot find any consistent rhythm there. But do I want Zach LaVine on that contract on my team? Hell no. So with Kuminga, the question to me, guys, and you're watching it a lot closer than I am now day to day, but do you see him being able to develop to a point where he's getting you 20, 25 every single night, and he is that dominant force that max players have to be? I personally don't see that. I would move him before I have to make that decision, to your point, Mr. Dibbs. But if you're the Warriors and you've invested all the time and development into seeing what he's becoming and will continue to become wherever he goes, or if he stays here, that would be a really tough pill to swallow to not then match the restricted offer sheet that we figure will come
his
way.
Well, that's the pickle. I mean, the idea of moving him now, I've thought for a while, is like a non-starter because of how much he makes. Like, he's only making $7 million.
Right.
Why am I going to send him out now to get $7 million in return? It's almost like Jonathan, from a financial standpoint, if there's a deal for the Warriors right now, he's a throw-in.
Yeah.
And he's actually the linchpin of the deal.
Absolutely. Of any deal. It's a scary, if you're Mike Dunleavy, Mark, what I would say is he came into the job with his eyes wide open. So none of this this whole dynasty, it's coming to a close. Mike's a really smart guy. He knew what he was walking into, but these are the decisions. What do you do with Kuminga? How much do you worry about the deal that's coming? It's not a question that anybody really wants to face because there are so many corresponding moves to come after it.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And we are hanging out with our good friend Nick Friedel, NBA insider for Odyssey, and insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. Now you can buy a new Hyundai from the comfort of your new home at Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. I want to go back to something that you were talking about just a few minutes ago. Play for everybody what Steve Kerr said yesterday with the idea of not trading Steph Curry, but the idea of Curry getting to a point where he may ask to get off the Warriors. This is what Steve Kerr said in that conversation.
I don't think so. I just think Steph loves the Warriors. He loves the idea of being a Warrior for life. I think that's so meaningful for him. He has no intention of doing that's what makes him unique and different. It's why he's not asking the organization to trade everything to go get him help. Steph is so special in so many different ways, and his self-awareness is just incredible, it's so meaningful for him to be a Warrior. I don't think our fans have to ever worry about that.
Okay, so that's what Steve's saying now, and obviously there is the idea of calm everybody's fears. But you've been around the team. I want to know your answer to that. Do you actually see that potentially getting there someday?
Mark, all Steph Curry has ever told me and everybody else who's ever asked that question repeatedly is, this is where I want to be. I want to play in one jersey, statue outside, the whole nine yards. You can only take him at face value, and I would say in my experience, 15 years covering the league, there are not a lot of guys who are more honest than Steph. He chooses his words exceptionally carefully. There are messages that he wants to get out. There are messages that he probably wants to get out but doesn't say. He has only ever said the exact same thing in that I only want to play in one place. The flip side to the context of this whole conversation is Steph is one of the most competitive guys that there is. There's no way you could be as successful as he's become over time unless you were. What happens when we all come to the understanding, and it's already starting right now. It's happening in real time. It happened in that interview. It's going to continue to happen over the next few weeks here. The Warriors walked into the season with championship-level expectations. Whether that was based in reality or not, you know, I think we all see the answer in front of us as the season has played out. Steph wants to win. He also wants to stay in one place. What happens in between is what we're going to find out. But if we're betting right now, if we're walking in the window, is Steph Curry a Warrior the rest of his career? I say yes.
Yeah.
But I think it is going to absolutely kill him and Draymond and frustrate them so badly that they see what is happening in front of them. And there's not much they can do to change it. Because the other thing that's going to happen is Steph's incredible right now. He's still at the peak of his powers. It's not going to be the case in a year or two. It's just not the way it works. So there are a lot of different reasons why Steph would potentially ask for a deal down the line if this kept up. I just don't see it happening. I'm with Kirk.
And I just don't see how it happens, even if he wanted it. If he's making $59 million next year and he wants to still compete for a title, and that would be his motivation, I don't think it would be, I want to go home to Toronto or I want to go home to Charlotte. He would go somewhere to chase a ring. And usually those teams that would need to match $59 million of salary, they usually don't have $59 million lying around of guys who they don't want anymore. So for me, Nick, it's even the mechanics of the deal. And I've tried to entertain it like, okay, what team out there is good? And I thought about Houston. You can start with Fred VanVleet, who Houston would be happy to get rid of that contract, but you're only about halfway there to Steph, so you'd need to find another $20 or $25 million worth of largesse that Houston would want to part with. So to me, even the mechanics of it make it almost an impossibility.
On top of that, Dibs, when you're talking about Steph Curry, I don't care if he's 80 years old, people are going to show up to watch him shoot the basketball.
Right.
It is the performance art.
They show up to watch him warm up.
Right? All over the place.
Yeah.
Literally all over the world. I remember being in China with the Warriors. They were an hour before the game, and there are thousands of Chinese fans that are out there not only waiting to watch him walk onto the bus, but then get into the gym. He is just completely different. So why, if you're Joe Lacob, would you ever think about any of it? Because he's still going to fill up Chase Center and fill up every other place that they go everywhere. The only way it would happen, and this is what Kerr was getting at, Mark, this is what you asked me about, is if Steph went to Lacob and said, hey, I just cannot handle the losing, the mediocrity. I don't see that being the case. And I'd add this anecdotally, guys. A few years ago when I was still here, I was working on a story in Ray Ritter, the Warriors PR czar, the man of NBA PR.
The man.
Ray gets me in touch with Dirk, Jerry West, and Reggie Miller. And the story was based on the conversations I'd had and so many others with Steph saying, I only ever want to be in one place. And I can still remember talking to those three guys specifically and how much it meant to them that they played in one place the whole way. Reggie Miller said, you know, if Michael Jordan had called me and said, come to Chicago, I would have told him to go F himself, I think was the actual quote. And I thought, that is what makes Steph who he is. But you say that because all they've been doing is winning for so long, and they've been in the conversation. But the reality is they're not in the conversation anymore. It is a different era now. But I can tell you, from those conversations and being around Steph for as long as I was and talking to him about just that, it would really shock me if that part changed, because that meant something to him. And I know Steve mentioned Dirk sitting there in Dallas, you know, on courtside every game. I mean, I think that is something that really makes a difference for Steph Curry and will help him through whatever losses may pile up.
Visiting with us is our friend Nick Friedell, Odyssey NBA insider here on Willard and Dibs. One more from Steve, and I think it's along the lines of the conversation that we're having. Some viewed this idea as a little bit of a white flag. Others, and I would put myself in this group, were thought of it almost like, dude, Steph and Draymond and Steve, you guys are heroes for being self-aware in a moment like this. But what's your take on what Steve said with regard to the conversations he's had directly with Steph and Draymond.
We've talked about this. You know, the three of us have been together for so long. We have these kind of conversations, and I'm so impressed with these guys and how much they care about the Warriors and the future of the Warriors. I think you're right. I mean, a lot of players in their situations would be saying, screw that. Let's you know, trade everything. But that's not who they are. They're Warriors for life. You know, this is that's part of the meaning of having a player who's only on one team for his entire existence. You know, you see Dirk Nowitzki now watching Dallas games, like he's on the sidelines like a fan, you know, and that's really cool. I love that. And I think that's how Steph and Draymond are going to be once they're retired.
There's the comment you were referring to.
Mark, it's so funny to me even hearing that now, because I'm sitting here smiling, thinking back to 5 or 6 years ago when I first got to the Bay. The feeling, and this was the conversation that beat writers and broadcasters would have, who will leave first? Steph, Draymond, Clay. And it was always, Draymond's gone.
Yeah.
Draymond is out of here. He's going to Detroit, or he's going to go follow LeBron somewhere. He's going to go chase that next ring. And the idea that Clay has left, I mean, he's gone, and by all accounts was so unhappy the last couple of years for a variety of different reasons, but he just wasn't the same player, sadly, after the injuries. The idea that it's now Steph and Draymond is to a point where he may be able to sit here the next few years and handle the losses that are coming, it just shows you how quickly it can shift. But my takeaway was exactly what yours was about Kerr yesterday, going, okay, they're changing the narrative as we speak as to what to expect in the moment, not only from this group, but maybe for the next year or two ahead.